place their trust in the wisdom of another. Some search for light in the dark, but like a child, I have come with simple faith in the only one who can change my heart. I believe God, I believe His word is true, for I've seen what He can do when I call upon His name. I believe God, so let the world say what they will, I will choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe God. Some say this life is the only thing that matters. Then we die. But I'm convinced that eternity awaits. So with every breath, I will testify. I believe God. I believe His word is true. For I've seen what He can do when I call upon His name. I believe God. So let the world say what they will, I will choose to serve Him still, knowing He will never change. I believe the soul of this world, He gave His only Son to die, and that's why I believe. For I've seen what He can do when I call upon His name. I believe God. I believe His word is true. For I've seen what He can do when I call upon His name. I believe God. So let the world say what they will, I will choose.
Good to see you all tonight, all the way down here in Arlington, Texas. I'm so glad to be here. I'm humbled that Pastor Lassiter would invite me back to take that vacation Bible school, but I sure enjoy it, and I'm glad he does invite me back. And we're just going to let Brother Gonzalez kick in when he gets here, and that'll be fine with me. I don't do well preaching with an interpreter. But we're going to get the message across anyhow, and that'll be great. Let me introduce my wife here, Miss Elaine Kagan, been my wife now this past June the 3rd for 34 years now. Just this past 2.5 weeks ago, our youngest daughter finally got married. God gave us 5 daughters, and all 5 of them's gone. Well, it about wore me out after that wedding. I laid down beside my wife and grabbed her by the hand, and I said, "Well, you ready for round 2? She wasn't ready. It was not the right time to ask that question. So, hallelujah. But we've got them spread out. three of them are down in Austin, Texas, so we'll be coming by through here once in a while. We've got more excuses now than ever to go to Texas, and so it's great. Well, let me go ahead and get the message started here tonight, and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want to preach a special message called Escaping the Snares of Temptation. Escaping the snares of temptation. The Eskimos have a very unique and fascinating way that they kill wolves. They actually prepare a large, sharp knife and take it and dip it in animal's blood and let that animal's blood dry on the blade. Then they dip it again and let that dry. Then they dip it again and let that dry. Till they keep that repetition up until that blade is just completely covered with dried blood. They take that knife that's completely caked with blood and place it in the upright position in the frozen ground or in the snow and wait for the wolf to come. And of course, the scent of blood causes the wolves to come. And then wolf began to lick the blade. Now, at first, that is no problem. The scent of blood begins to attract others, and the taste of blood arouses the natural instincts and passions within the wolf to continue licking vigorously. The blood dissolves off of that blade, and the craving so overtakes the wolf that the sting of the sharp knife, lacerating his tongue, does not even go detected. Soon, the blood that the wolf is tasting is his own. And soon, within hours, as he continues to lick that knife, he literally dies from blood loss. That type of tactic of killing wolves so reminds me of Satan's tactic of temptation with us. Satan baits his temptation hooks with things that our natural flesh needs and desires. And Satan wraps his knife of sharp sin with something very appealing. And if we don't recognize Satan's tactics, and if we are not controlled by the Spirit, and if we don't apply God's ways of escaping temptation, it literally will take us into sin. And sin takes us where we don't want to go. Do I need to remind you tonight that we have a very real enemy? 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 18 says, "For our adversary, the devil, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Friend, he knows me, and he knows you. And what's worse is, he knows our weak spots. He knows how to tempt us and where to tempt us and when to tempt us to get us to fall into sin. He wants to destroy our families. He wants to destroy our marriage. He wants to destroy our testimony. He wants to steal our peace. He wants to steal our joy. He wants to steal from us the fulfillment that comes in serving and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he can make you a dead, dry Christian just going through the motions, then he has successfully ruined you and me. Our love is to be for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, without hesitation or without any limitations. And when Satan can steal that love away through tempting us into something that would steal that love, then Satan has succeeded. He wants to convince us that sin really can satisfy. And you know, he's got that half right. It satisfies for a season. And then payday. Then before you know it, you're drinking your own blood. And because you've got a habit and because you don't even realize what's happening soon, Satan is able to take a toll in your life. Sin never fully satisfies. It only intensifies your craving for more. It blinds us. It binds us. And sin will take you further than you wanted to go. Sin will keep you longer than you planned to stay. And sin will cost you more than you planned to pay. Amen on that? Always. There's no bargain basement price on sin. Satan always makes sure you pay the full price. Tonight I want to encourage you. I want to remind you of a promise that Christ has made us in the Word of God. He's given us several powerful resources. And in this particular verse, He's given us a way of escape. And so, as we look at verse 13, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, a quick message tonight because I do need to get. But I believe you'll benefit greatly if you'll listen carefully and take notes. Let's stand together out of respect to God's Word. And let's read verse 13 aloud. Ready? There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. That particular verse was the first verse I memorized as a freshly born again child of God 37 years ago. That verse has helped me through so many difficult situations. I recommend it highly if you've not got it memorized. You say, but Pastor, that's a long one. Oh, but it's a good one. And we need this verse today. Let me just testify as a pastor. Over 32 years, I am working more and more in the spiritual ER than ever. What's the ER? The emergency room. The spiritual emergency room. Marriages falling apart. Families falling apart. Teenagers leaving the faith and quitting on God. People are seeing temptations and going after it like a bass would go after one of those lures. Amen? And Satan tries to trick us into all kinds of things. And I used to have an old friend who was a professional fisherman. And he'd take 5 or 6 fishing poles with him whenever he'd go fishing. Always confounded me. I said, what do you got all that... Why do you got all them fishing poles out there? He says, it's just one more hook in the water. Just one more hook in the water. And you know what Satan's doing today? With the present administration that we've got on and the nation, the direction it's going, Satan is putting so many hooks in the water, you can hardly move and bump without running into one of Satan's temptations. Folks, we need this message tonight. God will speak to you if you'll ask Him. Why don't we pray together just now? Father in heaven, I'm thankful for an opportunity to preach the Word. I love the opportunity. But now, Father, this is Your work. You promised Your Word would not return void, but You would accomplish that which You purposed. I pray tonight, Lord, people would be helped. Your precious people would be lifted up and encouraged. And I pray in Jesus' name there'd be a revival in our hearts, a fresh awareness of the battle that's raging. And may we live victoriously. I ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It was 50 years ago, April the 10th, 1963. United States Navy had just gotten into the nuclear submarine area. They were testing out their nuclear submarines and had a fleet of over 90 of them created. The head submarine of that was called the Thrasher. This particular submarine was undergoing tests, and it had gone out into the deep many times, but it left the coast of Maine out into the Atlantic to where they could go at least a mile deep into the ocean. But something went wrong. They lost control of the submarine, and it continued to plunge deeper and deeper. That submarine exploded under the pressure. In fact, when they tried to find the parts and the pieces left over, they had a hard time finding it. 129 men passed into eternity, crushed by the weight of the water. Strangely enough, as they were hunting for the parts to the submarine and any remnant of it, thousands of feet deep in the ocean, little fish swimming perfectly and freely. The same water that crushed a nuclear submarine was not a problem to a little fish. Why? How does that work? Well, let me just fill you in a short, give you the short answer. The internal pressure in a fish at that depth is greater than the external pressure on the outside. The internal pressure is greater than the external pressure on the outside. Brothers and sisters, I believe God would want you to know tonight that there is victory through temptation. But we've got to up the pressure on the inside to keep the pressure from the outside crushing us. You may not be fighting the temptation of drug addiction tonight. You may not be fighting the temptation of alcoholism tonight. You may not be contemplating murder, rape, suicide, or child molestation. You may be doing what you would think is pretty good. But can I remind you tonight, Christians in a good church like this are greatly tempted in other directions. Can I mention just a few? Satan likes to put that craving in our heart called anger. That anger turns into resentment. And resentment turns into hatred. And before you know it, the joy of the Lord is gone. And the more you lick that knife of resentment and anger and hang on to that thing and you let that thing fester and boil, you're in deep, deep trouble. Can I remind you of another temptation? The temptation to lie and deceive and to live a hypocritical life. I'm tempted that way. I'm sure you're tempted that way. God killed Ananias and Sapphira for being such and doing such a thing. God hates that sin of deception. We're tempted to gossip. We're tempted to badmouth one another. Now you can say amen tonight. I'm from Missouri. I love it when you say amen. I don't get offended at all. In fact, I feel like I'm not getting through if you're not saying amen. All right? So help me out here. I mean, we're tempted to worry. You say, oh, Pastor, worry isn't a bad sin. You know what worry is? Worry is simply unbelief. And did you know that unbelief is the greatest insult to Almighty God? He's given us His Word. He's shown us by creation His power and His strength and His ability. And then for us not to trust a loving God who cares about us, that's an insult, a slap in the face to the Almighty. Worry's a big sin. Then there's laziness. I know you don't want me to get on that one, but I'm tempted. So I wrote it down. I don't know how you're doing, but I know this. When it comes time to witness to somebody, when it comes time to plan and prepare a Sunday school class or get a soul-winning visitation time together, this old flesh cries bloody murder. Says, you know, just let it slide. Folks, we can't do that. Are you letting soul winning slide? Are you letting souls pass into eternity because you're lazy? You say, I've been licking this knife a long time, Pastor. This life of laziness is just fine. It is not. The Bible says to be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Is your heart on fire for Jesus Christ tonight? If not, you're licking on some temptation that's going to take you down the wrong road, friend. Want to help you tonight. Don't be tricked by Satan's allurements. Letting opportunities up for service just pass you by because somebody will do it. You know, there's three people in the church. You know their names. Their names are somebody, anybody, and then there's nobody. You know those three members, don't you? They say, well, somebody ought to do it. And somebody says, well, anybody can do it. But you know who ends up doing it? Nobody. Okay? That's how it works. That's how it works. Worrying and fretting and anxiousness and then there's weariness. Let me just approach this thing. It's okay to get tired because we all get tired, but it's not okay to get weary. The book of Malachi, the 4th chapter, those priests said, oh, what a weariness it is. You know what that did to God's heart? That told him that his service and his ministry was boring and hard and tiring. We ought to be excited about Sunday school. We ought to be excited about coming to Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study. We ought to be excited about going soul winning. We ought to be excited about reading our Bible daily. There ought to be a passion pumping in our heart to do more for Jesus Christ. If it's not pumping and if you're not on fire, friend, you're licking on a knife somewhere. It won't be long. And you'll be out. Oh, should I mention this sin? The sin of covetousness. I don't know about you, but if I look at it, I want it. Lady got a new car at church and it was parked in the wrong spot. I said, I'll take care of that, ma'am. She gave me the key. I got in that thing. Hit the starter on that baby. All these gadgets, gizmos, lights, whistles. Woo, 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 woo. The seat moved up and rolled around. Whoa. I gotta get me one of these. You ever felt that way? Amen. I mean, I can't go shop. My wife can't take me grocery shopping. Especially when I'm hungry. Oh, we better get some of that. She says, you don't need that. I didn't know I needed it until I saw it. Covetousness is in us all, isn't it? We want often those things that God doesn't want for us. Covetousness leads to carnality, and carnality leads to materialism, and before you know it, you're a worldly Christian. Amen? I mean, these temptations are real. And Satan's got them set out there. Now, I want to mention this, and that is the issue of pornography. Very real. I cannot believe how naked this world is getting and how terribly offensive and all the access they have on TV and on the computer and on the cell phones even. Oh, we've got to guard ourselves. Got to guard our eyes. You say, oh, it won't hurt nothing. That's what the wolf said. I got news for you. It hurts more than you will ever know. If you've got a problem in that area, it's the wisest thing in the world. Go to your pastor and say, listen, I need help. I've got to have victory in this area. And I'm sure he and others will help you through that. That is a poisonous trap that Satan has set for the men of America and the young men of America, and it's destroying them. It grieves me beyond words what's going on in this thing of pornography. Well, I could go on and on about the different temptations that are going on. I hope I struck on at least one area that you might feel a little bit uncomfortable about. But our text tells us clearly, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Temptation has been going ever since Adam and Eve in the garden. Amen? You remember Eve, don't you? She got around that tree, got to talking to the devil, and she got hooked, didn't she? She got hooked. There is no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. And so it's something that everybody's dealing with. But don't take comfort in that. Realize that you've got the responsibility to live victorious. Can I ask by a raise of hand, how many of you know that God teaches in His Word that He wants you to be an overcomer? Let me know that. Let me see. How many? It's in the Word of God. We are to overcome in this world. In fact, that's our testimony. We don't ever overcome by our own power. We overcome by His power. But nonetheless, you are either an overcomer or, brother, you are overcome. I love that phrase, God is faithful. Whew! God is faithful. You say, He's not faithful to me, Pastor. I've been falling into sin left and right. No, wait. Hey, you got to understand, God gives you tools to avoid those sins and those traps. And He's been faithful to provide you these things, and I'm going to give you five of them real quick tonight before I slip out of here. And you'll need to jot these down, and some of you may already be very aware of each of these, but others, this may be the first time you heard it. God is faithful. Notice what it says, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. That means God isn't going to put on you and put you in a sinful situation that He's not going to protect you and provide a way of escape for you. You say, well, He must think I'm just mighty strong. No, He doesn't think you're mighty strong. He thinks you're going to depend on Him and get the victory. He's wanting you to experience Him. He's wanting you to trust in Him. And that's the only way to get victory. He says, He'll not tempt us above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Now, isn't that wonderful? God gives us an emergency out. He gives us an exit door. He gives us a way to escape. Now, some folks think, well, then He's going to just pull me out of the temptation. Oh, no. This way of escape, most generally, is through the temptation, not out of it. And God is working on you to trust in Him in these hard times. And so I found that temptation comes in two main areas to get the victory over temptation. Number one, to flee. Number two, to resist. Now let me talk about fleeing first, because that's just real easy to understand. You remember Joseph in Genesis chapter 39? Potiphar's wife comes to him, grabs a hold of him. That man fled so fast his coat was left in her hand. Let me just inform you, in case you didn't know, there are some temptations that are so strong and so vicious and so empowering that the only thing you can do is get your running shoes on and get out of town. Get out of town. You say, well, a real man doesn't run from trouble. He does in that kind of trouble. A real man runs from that kind of trouble. Absolutely. Think of Eve. What should she have done? Standing there next to the tree and the devil starts talking to her. Let me tell you this. You and I are no match for having a conversation with the Prince of the Power of the Air. And he starts reasoning with you, it's time to hit the road. He will argue and talk you into anything. He's been doing it for 6,000 years. He's good at it. Don't even mess with him. Eve should have just said, whoa, there's a serpent talking to me. We're going to get out of here. Saved us all a bunch of trouble. Amen. Think of David. What should he have done? Walking on the top of his roof while everybody's out warring and he's looking down and he sees Bathsheba. What the? Men, let me help you, man. You see somebody unclad? Check it off, man. Turn your head and say, God, deliver me from any thoughts here and allow me to think pure thoughts. I like what Job says. Why should I set my eyes upon a maid? And I quote scripture like, give no place to the devil. And check it off. Check it off. Turn your head. You know what that means about watching TV? You have to have your head turned all the time. And I mean, you're going to get a crook in your neck from that situation. It's just, some things you just have to flee. I love what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18 says. It says, flee fornication. Flee. I mean, there's no ability for you to resist it when it's that close. Run! Run! Get as far away from that as you can. I like what 1 Corinthians 10:14, which is the next verse in our passage here in 1 Corinthians 10. It says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, what's it say? Flee from idolatry. Now, what's idolatry? Idolatry is simply loving something more than you love God. Idolatry, according to Colossians, is nothing more than the sin of loving something. Let me just turn there just real quick. I messed it up here. Help me out. What's idolatry? This witchcraft. Well, that's not it either. Good try, though. I appreciate that, brother. It's at the end. Oh, that's covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, that's the end of Colossians. All right. Didn't write that down because I didn't think I'd have time. I'm doing good on time. All right. Colossians says covetousness is idolatry. That means wanting stuff all the time. Always feeling the lack of things. Friend, take things to God in prayer and let Him take care of your needs. And seek first the kingdom of God and He will add all these things unto you. But flee idolatry. Flee fornications. Those are two sins that you've got to flee from. Then the second area that we all have to deal with in overcoming temptation, and that is resisting. Now, resisting comes in many forms, and God gives us these tools I'd like you to jot down. James chapter 4, verse 8. Would you turn there, please? James chapter 4, verse 8. Here the Bible says, draw nigh to God. Well, verse 7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now, folks, when the Bible says resist, what does it mean? Well, let me give you the tools of resistance. Most of you know this one, the Word of God. Amen? Thank God for the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. You say, well, God doesn't care if I sin. I'm under grace, Pastor. Paul said, shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. We are to live victoriously. Thank God for grace. We named our church Grace Baptist Church. Hallelujah for grace. But it's not a license to sin. And boy, that philosophy is getting real ramped up these days. God help us. But when you memorize God's Word, and you study God's Word, and you focus on God's Word on a daily and regular basis, and you're feasting on manna from heaven, friend, you are getting the sword of the Spirit nice and sharp so that you can win this battle against the devil. One of the greatest illustrations of getting victory over temptation was Matthew chapter 4 when Jesus was being confronted by the devil after 40 days of fasting in the wilderness. Remember that one? Satan said, oh, well, if you're the Son of God, turn that stone into bread. What did Jesus do? He stomped his foot and said, no, now you get out of here, devil. Is that what he said?
No.
He said, for it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Quoting the Bibles like swinging a sword, and it causes the devil to have to be resisted. And he knows he doesn't have any resistance if you've not put any Bible in the back of your mind for your quota and your ammunition to use against the wicked one. Your pastor encourages you to memorize a verse or a couple of verses and you slough it off like it's not important. The devil smells that out and he sets you up. You say, well, I'll always have my Bible there on the job. No, you won't. I have a Bible at the house. Well, friend, I've got news for you. Somehow, if you don't get this book in you, it's not going to be able to come out of you. And the devil's not impressed when you say, oh, I know it's in here somewhere. Kind of like I did just a minute ago. Amen. Hallelujah. We all got room to grow, don't we? I got a great memory. It's just short. Hallelujah. God's Word, hide it in your heart. Quote it. Feast on it. Eat it. Breathe it. Love it. Learn it. Live it. It's the Word of God. It's your food. It's your water. It's your sword. It's your weapon. Fall in love with that Bible. And if you start working on the Word of God, then there's a second tool God's given you to resist temptation. And that is the tool of prayer. Hallelujah. When the Lord Jesus was, the night before He was crucified, took His disciples into the Garden of Gethsemane. And He asked them, He said, will you watch with me and pray? He said, pray lest ye enter into... Well, what good does praying do? Praying helps you overcome temptation. I wonder if those disciples that night had decided they weren't going to fall asleep. And you know what? When I start falling asleep when I'm praying, I have to stand up. And if I start falling asleep while I'm praying standing up, I hold my hands up. That helps. Amen. I want to get in touch with God. This old flesh gets tired. And we get opposition going, and we need to be able to pray and pray effectively. I'm not talking about table grace. I'm not talking about Betty by nighttime prayers. I'm talking about fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man. It avails much. Prayer. Mark chapter 14, verse 38, he says, pray lest you enter into temptation. Let me give you a third area real quick. A third area to resist Satan. Not only you can resist him with the word, resist him in prayer, but simply resist him through obedience and trust. Obedience and trust. It often just takes common sense to be able to turn off the TV. Click the page off of the computer. It's just common sense. Proverbs 1 and verse 10 says, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Consent thou not. And let me serve you notice. We got sinners out there enticing us. You shine, brother. You shine, sister. Don't dip your sails for this old world. Don't you do it. Don't you do it. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Then let me give you a fourth way to resist Satan, and that is adjust your thinking. What do I mean by that? Well, I mean start thanking with your thinking. Become thankful about things. Let's turn over here to Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at this great verse, this passage here, Philippians chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. Good, you guys are fast. Philippians 4. Starting to verse 4, what's the first word? Rejoice. Got one guy over here who's reading. All right, come on, help me out. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. No, always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. be careful. That word careful means anxious or overwhelmed with thought. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with... Folks, you'd be surprised when you start thanking God for things. Satan's tempting snare begins to look so dull and unimportant. When I got in that brand new car and hit that starter and fired that new car up, I just said, thank you, Lord, for the old jalopy you gave me. Amen. Thank you for my car. I got two of them. Got a van and a car. I'm all right. 99% of the people in the world would love to have one car. I got two. Thank you, Jesus. That old car, that brand new car I was driving, just that didn't have a pull anymore. Why? I got thankful. When you start being thankful, sir, for your wife, you'll quit looking around at the new models. Amen? Wow, she puts up with your stinky feet. She washes your dirty clothes, and she loves you no matter what. Them old floozy women, they'll drop you in a heartbeat. Get thankful for your wife. Get thankful for your husband. Get thankful for things. Keep on reading here. He says, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And notice verse 7. Say it with me, church. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Just trying to help you tonight. If your thinking starts going into thanking, you're going to be all right. Turn your thinking into thanking. Hallelujah. And then let me give you the fifth way to resist the devil. Not only through God's word, not only through prayer, not only through just trusting and obeying and adjusting your thinking, but fifthly, yield to the Holy Spirit. Turn there to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're wrapping her up. I've got to run, folks. So I hope you catch this. Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Is that a promise? That's a promise to me. That tells me the Holy Spirit will enable me to overcome any temptation. When I'm tempted to be angry, Holy Spirit will give me love, joy, peace. Amen? When I'm tempted to lie and deceive or gossip and badmouth, Holy Spirit will guide me into making my words good words, healing words, life words, not death words. Hallelujah. When I'm tempted to be lazy, the Holy Spirit just won't let me sit still. He just fires me up on the inside and tells me there's a job to be done. There's a hell to be shunned. There's a heaven to be gained. And there's people who need Jesus. We can't be lazy. Amen. And I've told several people just this past month, here's just the month of June has been a blur. I said, I'd a lot rather burn out than rust out for Jesus. If I blow a gasket going the speed I am, then let her blow, brother. I don't want to be sitting at home sucking on my thumb, wondering how God's going to bless me next. No, I'm going to be yielding to the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, asking and begging the Holy Spirit to fill me and control me. And that's what it means to resist Satan. Now turn over there to James chapter 4 and we're going to look at it real close. Look at James 4 verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Why don't you stand with me, please? Here as we conclude, notice it says, He giveth more grace, verse 6. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the what? But giveth grace to the who? Yeah. Submit yourselves therefore to God. It's a surrender, friend. Resist the devil and he will what? That's a promise, isn't it? Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Be afflicted, and mourn, and weep, and let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to heaviness. Verse 10, read out loud with me. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Victory over temptations right there, isn't it? Surround yourself with godly Christians. Do what you can to be at church every time the church doors are open. Listen to godly, spirit-filled preaching on tape or on your on the radio. Do what you can to fill your house with godly music and the atmosphere of the Holy Ghost. And as the world increases its darkness, as it continues to pound us with its pressure to try to collapse our submarine of life under this pressure cooker called America, friend, let's increase the pressure on the inside so the pressure on the outside will not have its way. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You found some ways of escape tonight. Use them. Pastor, would you come?
Let's bow our heads for just a moment, please.